Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show that we seriously discuss the concept, history, and application of black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own societies based on freedom, justice, and equality. This show, the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, is hosted by the Time to Leave Movement. We are brothers, Muslims, brother Muslim and sister Muslims, brothers and sisters who are following the lead and the directions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, where he said separation or death. We are actively organizing and moving to do just that. The Time to Leave Movement consists of several task forces. We have a land market task force. We have a physical relocation task force. We have a self-sufficient living task force. We have a skilled trade task force. We have an engineering, planning, and development task force. We also have a senior living task force. You may ask, why are there so many task forces? Well, because to build a community, to build a nation, you have to cover every aspect of life that we're now living in today, presently. The land market researches real estate. The physical relocation task force discusses our efforts to physically move to our own communities and societies. The skilled trades task force organizes brothers and sisters who have skilled trades so that we can form our own companies, unions, our own coalitions to build. The engineering and planning development does the same thing, however, on a more planning and engineering level. And we have what's called a senior living task force. You may ask, why, what do you do with a senior living task force? What do the seniors do? Well, it's not what do the seniors do, it's what we need to do for our seniors. They have done for us, and now it's our time to do for them. We're not building a society like the present one we live in, to where our seniors are just work all their lives and fed the wrong foods, and when they reach the age of seniority, just thrown to the side. That's not what we're doing. We're going to organize for every aspect of their lives so they can live in comfort and dignity. So with that being said, tonight's show is being hosted by our Senior Living Task Force. And I'm going to open the mic and welcome our Senior Living Task Force coordinator, who also happens to be the number one assistant of the Farm Muhammad Farms coordinator, Dr. Rijnee Mumin, and arguably, I've heard him say he's better one half or maybe two thirds. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton. Thank you so much for the compliment. I don't know what Dr. Rijnee will have to say about that when he gets an opportunity.
Well,
but
I got it from him. I got it from him.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Yes, we do need to be concerned with our seniors. And, you know, I was thinking earlier today, and before I even get into that, we do have a guest tonight. However, she was running a little late today and had to come in and prepare dinner for her family. So you can't argue with that. When a woman says she's preparing dinner for her family, that's something you can't argue with. So I just said, come on, sister, whenever you are free, just come on the call and we'll just hold it on until you get there. So that's what we're going to do tonight. I will introduce her when she comes on. But in the meantime, we're going to discuss senior living. You know, in the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years, there have been some major advances in the longevity of our people in this country. I was just looking at some statistics today, and they said the average age life expansion for females in this country is about 87 years of age. Well, that is increased from the last 15, 20 years. And most of that population, they said the majority of that population is female. And, you know, a lot of women don't like living alone. And the way our society is changing, the way crime and other things seems to be escalating, and many of our communities, especially black communities, are deteriorating. Communities where you have a lot of our senior women have raised their families, their children get grown and go off to school and don't come back to the community. So the demographics of those communities have changed. So now you have all of these seniors in these communities, and things are changing. You have younger populations moving in, and a lot of times people move in that don't have the same, moral standards that we used to have as communities, and they don't make things pleasant for the elders in those communities. So many now are looking at alternative ways of living where they can have peace of mind, safety, not have to worry about upkeep and those kinds of things, although you do have many that prefer staying in their own homes, which is also commendable. But we're going to have our guest tonight who's going to talk about why they decided to go into the field of opening a senior living home. So whenever you see her number pop up, Brother Carlton, just let me know, because she's going to call in as soon as she can. I just got a text from her. So evidently she's going to be calling in as soon as she's able to. But in some of the statistics that I have been researching recently, and as I said a little bit earlier about the population, the growing age of the population, you know, a few years ago, I would say no more than 15 years ago, there was a trend to start saying seniors, the time frame or the age category for seniors kept getting extended. It was about 15 years ago, and I can't remember the age that or the number of years AARP has been in existence, but I know when AARP started,
Sister Ann?
They were targeted. Yes, sir.
Sister Patricia Hall is in the program now.
Oh, right. Oh, praises due to Allah. Greetings, Sister Patricia.
Hello to you. Good evening.
Hey, good evening. I was just trying to carry on until you got on the line. But I was telling them earlier, we don't argue with any woman who's saying she's got to prepare dinner for her family. Because we know how important that is.
And yes, it is.
We take full pride in any woman today who still does that, because that's a dwindling thing. And we know it's, and we are taught in our group that the woman is the maintainer of the home, and the kitchen is her medicine cabinet. So when a sister has to do that, we take off our hats to her. But welcome and thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You were welcome.
Yes, our guest today, and then I'm going to let you say whatever you want to say. But I want to tell you what we really want to know is, I want to get into why you started your business, and you tell us all about your business. But our guest today is, Patricia, what we do, we refer to all of our people as brother and sister. So we just forget a lot of times, and we'll just automatically just refer to you as a sister. So that's what we'll be doing throughout the program. So our guest tonight is Sister Patricia Hall, who is the co-owner of a beautiful senior living home in my hometown of Macon, Georgia. I mean, if you could just personally visit and walk through this place, I mean, it would just knock your socks off. You know, it's a place where I would want to be. So, Sister Patricia, I'm glad that you have the floor, and you can tell us all about yourself and your co-owner. As you say, you are a co-owner, but go ahead and tell us about yourself and your facility.
I am Patricia Hall, and thank you for having me. And I am co-owner along with my sisters and brothers. It's eight of us. And we own Angels Divine Personal Care Home. It is spearheaded by my sister Tammy Barksdale, which did all the lead work to get us up and running. We started out in 2016 with our grand opening. But in 2006 is when we started doing all the research, the legwork, getting funds to get the building up and running. So it took us 10 years. So my sister Tammy, she quit her job so she can pay more attention to starting the business. So I told her if she quit her job, I would back her 200%. And we will give her all the support that she needs until we get up and running. We opened our doors in 2016. We got our first resident in August of 2016. What got us started in the business was my aunt and uncle, which is my mom's brother, got put into the worst nursing home in Macon, Georgia. So my auntie called crying, saying she did not want to stay there anymore and come and get her out. So we did. And then in the meantime, in 2008, my mom was in a very bad car accident. So along with that, with my aunt and uncle, and they both had Alzheimer's at the time, with my mom could not take care of herself, and me, I had my grandmother, which is my dad's mom, staying with me because she could not stay by herself either. So when we went to the doctor, we had all these elderly individuals with us. So my sister said, "But Pat, we are doing this ourselves. Why don't we start our own business in Showmiller, Georgia, how we should take care of our seniors, rather than placing them in a nursing home that they are put in a corner, they are not taken care of, no one care about them, no one come and visit. So let's show them what we can do." So that's how we got started, all because of my mom, my grandma, and my aunt and uncle. My grandmother has passed along, as well as my uncle, but we still have my auntie, and my mom is still alive, well, and kicking. We have a nice facility. It's on 3065 Jeffersonville Road. We have a 14-bed facility. We own 18 acres where this building is standing. Wow. After we get this first building up and running, we plan to build another building on the same lot, on the same property. At the time, we have 6 residents at the moment. And each and every last one of our residents has Alzheimer's to some depth. Our residents are male and female. We can take anyone from the age of 18 on up. You don't have to be a senior. We take care of them as if they are our own mom, dad, spouse, sister, brother, or whatever. You don't just want to take them and put them in a room and leave them there. Our place is built as if it's their home. And we want them to feel like they're at home as well. And we chose to have a small facility so we can give them more hands-on care rather than herding them through like they are cattle or something, in which they are not. They are human beings, and they need to be treated that way as they grow older into their younger years. And you would want someone to take care of you as you grow older into your younger years as well, rather than leaving you alone the side and don't care anything about you. So what we do, we everything they need, they don't have to do anything. Our facility is just like a resort. All they need to do is just sit down, relax, and do whatever they want to do. If they don't want to get up, they don't have to get up. But we do require them to come to our community table for meals. We do breakfast at 9. We do lunch at 12. We do dinner at 4:30. That's the only requirement that we have them to do, to come to the table and commingle with the rest of the residents. We don't have anything brought in from the outside. All meals are cooked fresh daily. We do nothing prepackaged. We do their laundry. We do their hair. We have our own salon, barber. We have a cosmetologist that comes in. And we have a barber that's there. We do their laundry. We clean their rooms. We ensure that they are clean and dry at all times. We just love them to death. We celebrate their birthdays. We have several churches that come by and that has adopted them and bring them goodie bags. Off and on, we have my church, which is Unionville Missionary Baptist, with Pastor Mac. Our church comes out and bring them communion every third Saturday. St. Peter Claiborne also come out to visit as well to bring communion. And we have Lizard Chapel that has a group that comes out and worship with them as well.
Wow.
Our goal is to always make sure any individual that walk through our doors, which are angels divine, once our door is open, behind those doors are angels to take care of them. That's our goal.
Wow.
So, that's what we do. We take care of them as if they were our own babies, and which they are.
That is absolutely astounding and beautiful. I mean, to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just heartwarming. That
it took us 10 years.
10 years. And see,
from 2006 to 2016.
And that's very important. That you, I hope our listeners are paying close attention. I mean, the strategy, the planning. And I mean, these are what, 8 brothers and sisters, 8 siblings who did this, got together and planned it, and took a period of 10 years to actually open the door. But you own the land, correct? You have 18
yep.
acres.
We own the land. We have 18 acres.
And
have 18
I
acres.
Have been, yes, I have been through the facility. The facility is beautiful. It's immaculate. And you can tell mm-hmm. the care that was put in. I mean, every room is designed differently. Spacious. As she said, it's not cramped. It's a spacious living facility. And when you walk through the door, it is like walking into someone's home. Because, you know, I've visited relatives in nursing homes, and, you know, you always have that smell. This place is immaculate. I fell in love with the kitchen. When I was out there and took the tour. But it is immaculate, it's beautiful, and anybody who's looking for a place. And I didn't know you said from age 18 on?
Yes, from 18
okay.
on.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
now that
the only requirement that we can't take an individual if they are 100% bedridden.
Okay.
Once they reach that stage, we would have to transfer them out. But we would help
right.
locate another facility for them. But other than that, they can't be bedridden.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we are at the moment, we don't take Medicare or Medicaid. We are strictly private pay.
Okay.
Either we will accept long-term care insurance, but we don't take any Medicare or Medicaid.
Okay.
At all. We're strictly private.
Okay. Oh,
and
man,
then we have to take our hat off to my sister Tammy. She's the designer
yeah.
of the building, and she she sketched everything out. She walked everybody through everything exactly the way she wanted. So we have to give her top kudos to her design techniques because she did all that on her own.
She's good. She's good. I just want to encourage my cohorts who are in this area to we have taken some field trips, and maybe we can put together a field trip and come visit your facility. And
you
we need yes, and what we need to do is anybody who's listening that needs a place for someone that you know or a family member, you could not find a better place than this. Just listening to the motivation for doing this is enough for anybody to want to put their loved one in a place like this or to want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take a pledge that I'm going to get as many people in Macon, Georgia as I know to come visit your facility and give whatever kind of support they can. And one
okay.
other thing I'm thinking, yeah, and one other thing I'm thinking about also that we need to think about trying to do for our seniors. You know, a lot of our seniors didn't have a lot of income in their, didn't have high income in their working lives. So they're living on very limited resources. So any kind of help that they could get in order, and there are many who would love to live in a place like you have there. So we need to look at maybe somehow trying to get, maybe even for the whole state of Georgia, trying to get some resources where they could be, there could be some stipends to supplement the income of people who may want to live in a facility such as yours, but don't have the necessary means to do that.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. So I want my other participants to come on. Brother Carlson, do you have anyone who have a comment or a question?
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Yes,
right,
sir.
Right now, you hear that, brothers and sisters, our listeners, if you have a comment or if you have a question, now's the time to press that one and be in our queue to ask a question. Press one and you'll be able to ask Sister Ann and her wonderful guest, and someone, looks like Sister Melva has a question. Assalamu alaikum,
okay.
Sister Melva. Sister Melva? Are you all right?
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Sister Ann and Sister Patricia. First of all, I want to say thank you, because Sister Patricia, I can tell you, taking care of seniors is not an easy task. It is not. And you have to have a lot of patience, love, endurance. I can name a whole heap pile of words that goes with taking care of an elder. And I commend you and your family. I really do.
Thank you.
Because you're welcome, ma'am. You're welcome, ma'am. By the grace of God, I am so proud of you and your family, because that takes a lot to stop your job and unite as a family to build, to take care of your family members. That's a lot. That says a lot about your family and the love that's there. That says a lot. Now, I did hear you say that you do not take Medicare or Medicaid. Is that what I heard?
Yes, ma'am. We don't. We are strictly private pay at the moment.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. And Sister Ann, you have been there, correct?
Yes.
I have visited the facility. It is
okay.
Astounding.
You can also go on our website at www.angelsdivinepch.com and see the facility for yourself as well.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Because that is something that is needed for all, you know, all of us baby boomers. If you look around, all of us are taking care of our elders. Every last one of our elders all look like they all aging at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you do not want to, and they themselves don't want to go anyplace. They want to be home. They want to be where
mm-hmm.
love is. And
I hear
love.
Baby boomer, mm-hmm. Excuse me, but if you are a baby boomer and you are still working, but you're still taking care of your loved ones, we also offer what you call respite care. That's where you can drop them off. It would be like an adult daycare, and then you can just pick them up once you get out from work. We offer that as well. Or if you're going out of town or something and you need someone to watch them for the weekend or something, we offer that as well, which we call respite care.
That's a blessing. Seriously. That's a blessing. Because, you know, you have to have that time to go. caregiver has to have that time to go and
recuperate.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Ann. Regroup so that they can come back and deal with it even more. Yes. That is a blessing.
All right.
Well,
we have two more callers in the line. We want to thank you for your comment, Sister Melba. And we are going to go to the caller with the last four digits, 1340. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. I'm Sister Carol Asadi. I'm calling from New Jersey. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann. It's so good to hear you. And Sister Patricia, I commend you. I think that is wonderful. And you know what's really wonderful? That your family worked together to do this. That is a beautiful example. But I wanted to ask you, is there a particular reason why you do not accept Medicare and Medicaid, since the majority of our people, when they reach that age where they need that type of help, basically, well, a lot of us have Medicare and Medicaid and don't have that private insurance. And I wanted you to also speak on what private insurance should we be working for to get in order to be able to take advantage of a wonderful facility like yours. But is there a particular reason Medicare does not pay for certain things or what? I'll let you explain it, and I'll just listen.
Okay. The Medicare only pays $700 a month, and Medicaid does not pay anything towards long-term care. And if you was going to invest into personal insurance, it would be long-term care insurance. And the reason why we don't accept Medicaid because of the low amount. You can't function and give the individual the type of care they need with what Medicaid is trying to pay us for. Miss Ann has been in our building. She's seen the facility for herself.
Yes.
We cannot take care of an individual for $700 for the care that we give them.
Right.
We go above and beyond their expectation. That's our goal, to meet their needs, but exceed their needs, their expectations. So that's why we do not accept that. And the other part would be...
What type of insurance? Yes, that's what I wanted to know. What if I wanted to start looking and planning for the future...
It would be long-term care. That would be. And also, if you are a military individual or you are a spouse to a military individual, there's what we call aid and assistance out there that no one really knows about. If you're the military person yourself, the government offers you up to $1,900 a month for aid and assistance. And if you're that spouse of that military person, they offer you up to $1,600 a month. And that would help an individual if they know about this. This is something that they do not tell the African-American individual. We would be the last one to know this. So if we know someone that's a veteran or a spouse of a veteran and they need some type of assistance, even if you're still in your own home, you can still receive that benefit of aid and assistance from the government. So that's a lot of help right there. So if you have that plus your Social Security, then that's enough for you to be taken care of. If you go into a nursing home, all of your funds will be taken from you except for $80 a month. Whereas if you come into an assisted living facility, like our facility, none of your funds will be taken from you. Only thing you would be required to is to pay for your room and your board. That's it. All the rest of your money you get to retain. Whereas if you go to a nursing home, all of your funds will be taken except for that $80 a month. And then if you had private property or you had so much money in the bank, you can't do that and go into a nursing home. Whereas when you come into an assisted living facility, you get to retain all of your property and your money.
Okay.
I hope that helps answer your question.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we have one more caller. I got to apologize. I thought I was on mute all this time. I didn't know I was interrupting your conversation. So I'm truly sorry. The technical difficulty.
Okay.
And so we have Dr. Ridgely on the line. I'm opening Dr. Ridgely's mic. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Hello. Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, you know, I'm a pretty hard dude. But Sister Patricia Hall had me crying a bit. Because, you know, our people get beat up so much.
Yes.
People saying that black folks don't love each other.
Right.
Black folks can't work together. Families are dysfunctional. We just a lost people. And to hear about you and your family just dispels all that mythology that there are people out here who are putting their resources together and doing something great for themselves and the community. And so I just would like to say thank you very much, Sister Ann, for tracking these angels down so that we can give them a voice. And what's the name of the website, again, that people can go and check it out?
It's angelsdivinepch.com.
angelsdivinepch.com.
Yes.
Okay, I want everybody to go and check that out, to check your facility out. Now, let me ask you a question. You said that Medicaid, you get $700. Which one is that?
It's Medicare. Medicaid doesn't pay anything.
Okay, Medicare. So if a person has Medicare, so they don't have it, they can't. Do they have to give all their money to get Medicare? I mean, would they still have money if they have retirement or other things they could add to that to be able to utilize the facility?
Yes. But you can't take the Medicaid. If they have retirement and Social Security, they can put those two together and into the facility. But Medicare is not going to give us a penny at all because we don't have a license with Medicare.
But I'm saying if we open a facility and we have a license with Medicare, how would that affect can people who have Medicare also have supplemental other income? Or
they would put that together. No, they would put that together. If you have a license with the state and you're trying to do a CCSP, which they call Medicare, and that's where you would get your money from, CCSP. And the max that they would give you is that $700. So you would take that $700 plus whatever you were getting from Social Security, plus whatever you're getting from your retirement, if you enter into a different nursing home other than ours, the assisted living facility, yes, all of that money will be taken to enter into that facility that accepts Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay.
Now,
all
our
right.
facility, when our facility, Angels Divine, at this time, is not going to apply to accept Medicare or Medicaid, either one of those, because it
okay.
would not be beneficial to us. Financially, it would not be beneficial to us.
Okay. There's a lot more red tape coming at from the government?
Yes. You
okay.
would
All
probably
right.
be more than likely going back and forth to get your money back. You would not be receiving your money on an on-time basis.
Gotcha.
You would have
gotcha.
To wait back and forth to get your money.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. I knew, you know. A lot of people don't want to bust on the government like that, but, you know, you don't want to mess with them because, like you said, they'd be coming up short and got all type of excuses, and you got to pay your bills.
Yes. Is
gotcha.
That
right? Yeah, and I used to work in social services, so I know the backlog and the waiting, and a lot of times it really is unnecessary.
Yes.
Right,
when you've
right.
got $1,000 light bill you're trying to pay or whatever.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes, you need your money on time.
In some case, workers got your file on her desk and she want to get her hair done and
yes.
take a few extra hours or a few extra days vacation, and it's just sitting there. I've been there, so I know what happens.
And I'd just like to end on this. You know, you all do your adding and subtracting. Okay, in other words, you do your math, you do your record keeping. You're not spooky. You don't go by, well, maybe to come in. You all take care of your business, and your brothers, your sister in particular, how they said, well, we'll take care of you. If you pull off your job, then we'll take care of it until things turn around. And they put the money where their mouth is. And that's a lesson that everybody needs to learn. Do all your brothers and sisters still live in Macon, or do they live across the country?
We have one brother that's a CPA that stays in Atlanta. Everybody else is here in Macon. Well, I stay in Warner Robins, Georgia. My sister Tammy stays in Byron. Everybody else is still in Macon, Georgia.
Okay. Well, that makes a big difference, too, that you still have a core close to you. Many of us don't have a core that's close. They spread all out. But thank you all very much, sister, for coming on the program and telling us about what you all doing. Thank you.
Peter. Thank you.
And you know, Dr. Risley, it sounds like a great article for your new assignment.
I got you.
Yes. Well, go ahead and tell her what I'm talking about.
You know, Dr. Marshall?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. In America's Georgia, Sumter, the black newspaper, that a friend of mine has a newspaper, and he's looking for more articles from around the Southwest Georgia, because basically what he has done, he has run he scared the rednecks and the Uncle Tom so bad in America's in Sumter County that it's hard for him to have interesting things in his newspaper now because he's scared all of the devils. So he's asked me to go and try to find some information about what's going on. So I'm looking at good stuff and bad stuff. Yours is good stuff, but I'm going down to Albany, Georgia, to dig up some the bad stuff, and also here in Terrell County. The bad stuff about what they're doing to our people. But yours will be a good stuff article if I get a chance to do that. All right?
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And the reason I say her place would be a good article is because, you know, you have retirees all over the state where people, you know, would drive a few hours to visit a relative or a mother, aunt, grandmother, somebody who's in a facility like hers where they know they are getting the best care possible. So
So we want to circulate with her business as far and wide as possible, because you never know who's looking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what they truly do, like you say, we are baby boomers, and we move out, spread, like we go far up north or whatever to find jobs, to find work. But you left your parents here, or even you
right.
left your parents to try to take care of them. So what they do is, and their parents want to come back to their own home, what they do is, they call, if they see us on the internet or whatever, they'll call and say, well, my mom is staying with me now. I stay in New York, and she wants to come back home to live. Would you take care of my mom? So we get individuals like that. That's because we have one individual, both of his kids are in Atlanta, and one of them is in Augusta. But we have him with us, and he's our very first resident, and he's the daddy of the house. Because he was our first president, so we take care of him. And then we have another one that's off in North Carolina, but we have their mom. So she's the mother of the house because her kids are in North Carolina, or they're in Augusta, or either they're in Atlanta. But we take care of them. So we do that. They bring them back home. So, and then you go back to New York, and we just make sure we take very good care of your mom and your dad. So they bring them back.
Mm.
That would be their final wishes, to come back to their own home.
Mm.
So we just have to love them and make sure that they're very well taken care of.
Beautiful.
Sister Ann, when you get ready, we have two more callers in the queue. Whenever you get ready.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits 3647. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Brother Sean Muhammad, calling from Philadelphia, Mississippi. Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
Praise be to Allah. It's just a great thing to hear, the sister. And I saw the picture on somebody's Facebook page of the front of the building, and it is very, very nice and beautiful. And it was just a coincidence that the last 2 weeks since I haven't talk to the community that I've been in for the backside of our subdivision. I've been in a meeting with two brothers who do assisted living, and they want to possibly outfit the back of the lots that we have left of the subdivision to do that. But it's a little different. It's not just for seniors there. They was telling me that Mississippi has been keeping people with mental challenges or in sickness or in veterans and in long stay places like state hospitals and stuff like that, but it never supposed to be in a long term. And they supposed to be back in the communities with a supervisor place in a house. So that's what we're looking at, probably facilitating that for probably 20 or 15 of our lots. We're outfitting the house. All we do is get the house and someone else manage it and do the assisted living. But also, the minister, we remember, asked us, I think it was maybe a believer's meeting or just a message about us building the senior facilities in our cities for believers, you know, not just for believers, but for where they won't have to eat pork and go on their way out or way of, you know, in the senior life to have to, you know, to be thrown in a nursing home, as she's saying, and they just feed them whatever. And, you know, at the end of their days, been a Muslim all their days, you know, their younger adult days and at the senior days, they had to take that torture. He asked us to look into that as the believers to do, to have that type of facility where we can give them the care, like the sister is saying, that we can offer the, you know, the diet and the treatment, you know, whether it's church or whether it's mosque. Yeah.
Our facility, we don't use salt. We don't do pork. We don't do red meat either. And we give our residents the opportunity to tell us what's their favorite meal. So they'll have one day a week that we everyone to get to choose their own menu, and we will prepare that for them. But we don't eat red meat. No,
that is a blessing. And that's what the nurse asked us to do, to get in control of that, because you probably the only facility that would do that, you know, that you're going to do what we say because you're in our facility. So that's what he was asking us, because we all, a lot of us in the nation, which I'm 47, thank God a lot, but, you know, but in the nation that that's going to the senior age and have to be in some facility at a certain point in time. But I want to thank you. Don't want to hold up the minutes because we have another call. But I just want to thank you, sister, and I, God bless you. From your brothers and sisters from Mississippi, just keep on with the keep on. And may Allah bless
you
with gracious.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brother Sean. Are you ready for the next caller, Sister Ann?
Yes, sir.
Okay, caller with the last, and we're down to the last 9 minutes. Caller with the last four digits, 8804. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Andrea. I'm calling from Eolia, Missouri. And also want to thank both Sister Ann and Sister Patricia. Sister Ann, thank you for seeking out the sister. And Sister Patricia. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And Sister Patricia, I thank you, your family, for having the love not only to care for your family members, but to extend it and do what was needed for the elders in the community and their family members by providing respite care. I'm sure there's a lot of us on this line that have taken care of family members, and we know what just caring for family members is like. Thank you for providing not only the love, but real food. All of the things that, goodness, this is just, I'm like Dr. Risen, there are tears in my eyes. I mean, oh my goodness, this is absolutely beautiful. And sister, you were talking about not providing the Medicare and the Medicaid, not accepting that. I mean, I work in a long-term care facility, and those without funds, they end up with $16 a month, so they don't even get that $70. That Georgia
that
provides,
ate it out.
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's hard out there to find our seniors, especially when you go visit other facilities and they just land by the wayside and no one's caring about them. It's hard out there. It breaks your heart.
Yes,
so, it does.
Yeah,
it really does. It breaks your heart. And then when you bring them into the facility, like I was saying, we let them choose a menu. We let each one of them choose a menu, and we cook what they love. But one thing we do not do, we don't do pork. We really don't do pork, and we don't do salt. So other than that, they are happy. They'll tell you in a minute it was better than where they was.
Yes.
And you can't do nothing but open up your heart and just love them, just like they're your own babies.
So, right.
And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love everybody and take care of them. So by the grace of God, then we are blessed. Better beyond our knowing, we are blessed. So
yes, ma'am.
We just keep moving.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And I know there are only a few more minutes, but I would love, and I know Sister Ann has probably asked, what are some of the first steps to take? Because we are definitely interested in doing something similar and learning from you.
You got to do your research. You got to go out and do a comparison to see what the other facilities are offering so you can do something better. The very first step is to do a business plan. That's your first step. Do your business plan and get your fundings together. We had a very hard time because we are African Americans and we are female. So that was our two strikes against us right there, African American and females. We had so many doors closed in our faces, but we never did give up. Like I said, it took us 10 years. but we never did give up. We even had an individual to tell us if we would take this black person up behind this desk and put a white person there, we would get out of a building field. But we didn't do that. God didn't tell us to do that. So we're just going to keep the faith and keep moving on. And we will reach out for destination. That's what we do.
Yeah, and I believe you.
So much.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll get off just in case we have someone else. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank
you
for having me.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have one last caller. Did you want me to put them on, Strand?
Yes, sir. We'll go to the minute.
Okay. We're down to the last 4 minutes on caller with the last four digits, 4707. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Lanita from St. Louis.
Oh, Sister Lanita.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ann and Sister Patricia. I want to thank you all so much for making this possible. This is very enlightening information. I know we're down to the wire, so I'm just going to move quickly and ask my question. The square footage of your facility, I'm just curious, how large is it, and what's the maximum amount of residents that you will allow in?
Our square footage is 10,500. The maximum capacity is 14. And at the moment, we have 6. We have 2 semi-private rooms. We have 2 suites, and the rest of them are private. The average room, the suite is a size 14 by 14, and the private room is a 12 by 12, and the 2 semi-privates is a 10 by 10.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That sounds beautiful.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Go to our website, angelsdivinepch.com, and it'll show you all the rooms. It'll show you the whole facility, basically.
Right. But, you know, you get the full effect. It sits up on a hill, and a beautiful place.
Wow. Yes, ma'am. I look forward to seeing it.
Yes, ma'am. So whenever we want to come, Sister Patricia, hopefully we'll get a group together and let you know in advance. And
let us know.
Right. And for those who are trying to do something in other states, maybe Sister Patricia and her family and the other partners can put together a workshop or something if we let her know in time. And do some training because they have the experience. So we want to support in any way that we can.
Okay, we appreciate that.
Well, thank you for your call.
And I would like to say,
thank you for having us. Okay, and Sister Ann, Sister Patricia, if you all would like to make some closing statements, we're down to the last minute.
Well, Sister Patricia, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for agreeing to do this and to like Dr. Risley said, we don't know the talent that our people have and the dedication and the work that families do together. And it's just been, it's just so thrilling to hear that your family put this together. And this is something we just want to spread far and wide and to try to be of some assistance to what you and your family are trying to do right there in Macon. So thank you again very much.
And
now,
thank
do you,
you
have
for
anything
having me.
Oh, you are.
No, I'm just awesome. I'm just happy and delighted and flabbergasted that you chose to speak with us, and I appreciate you taking the time to wait on me until I finish preparing my meal. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, thank you so much. All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and hopefully we will
should
be
in, it should should anyone have any questions, Ms. Ann, you can give them my number, and we would be more than happy to assist.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. And what is that website again, Sister Patricia? What is that website again?
It's www.angelsdivinepch.com.
And your phone number?
The phone number is 478-257-7136.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, sisters, and thank you, Sister Ann, for putting together such a wonderful show. You can tell by the number of callers that the subject matter was very interesting. And so please tune in next week, and we're going to have a continued discussion, the time to leave panel discussion. So if you didn't get a chance to call in and ask your question, Sister Ann will be on the line, and we'll be probing deeper into this issue and any other ones. So thank you all for calling. Tune in next week. Until then, may Allah bless all of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Sister Patricia. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Won't you help me? Won't you help me?
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed.
Uh-huh.
Down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go.
Uh-huh.
To let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel.
Uh-huh.
Not just my spare tire.
Oh.
But Lord, I ask you to be my force and truth.
Oh.
For some strange reason, it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh.
Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more country. Fast eyes burst into Ripley,
uh-huh.
Where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walked, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
To Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I